Well, greetings, everybody. With Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we want you to be a part of it. If there's something you'd like to talk about, give us a call right now. Let us hear about it. The lines are open at 844-322-2742, and that number is good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Richard Piper.
Thanks, Bob. We're looking at identity all this month, and I can tell you by personal experience that finally getting a hold of my identity in Christ changed everything. And I say a lot of things have changed everything for me, but this was one of the biggest changes of all. Yesterday, Bob Christopher talked about Romans 12, 3 through 5, and I want to go right back there and dive a little bit deeper on it, because this is a vitally important passage, and I want to set it in the context a little bit. I mean, everybody knows Romans 12, 1 and 2, and then most Bibles have this artificial break, and then it says gifts of grace or something like that.
Yeah.
The break wasn't there, right?
Sure.
Paul just went right on in his conversation as he's pacing around the room and his poor scribe is trying to keep up. Remember, this thing starts with, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. Well, what were the mercies of God? Everything that's come before chapter 12.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he dealt with the sin problem. He deals with life and forgiveness and what it's like to live in the Spirit. He deals with the Jew and Gentile problem. And then he gets to 12 and says, in view of all of this, offer yourselves as living sacrifices. And when he gets done with the living sacrifice things, he says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. So what he has set up here is what I like to think of as a dependence-interdependence issue. We are dependent on Christ alone in view of his mercies. Mm-hmm. All of the things that God has done for us in Christ, we're dependent on him for life, identity, meaning, and purpose. Everything that means anything in our lives, we derive from Jesus himself.
Correct.
Okay. However, we are interdependent with others in the body of Christ, the church, to accomplish our God-given task to bring the story of Jesus to a dying world. And somebody should be saying, well, what about independence? I thought I needed to be independent. Well, thank God we are independent. But what we are independent of is the world system.
Correct, yes.
Let's make sure we have this straight. We are dependent on Christ for everything that matters. He's the one who forgave us, who has given us life, who sustains us by the indwelling Holy Spirit. We would be dead spiritually if it wasn't for Jesus.
Right.
Okay? He has literally saved us. And it's no different than yesterday I took my 4-year-old granddaughter to the airport to meet her mom, who was coming in from another business trip that she was on, and Eleanor is totally dependent on her mom at 4 years old, and that's completely appropriate.
Sure.
And you saw that when she finally saw her mom coming up the aisle and ran to her and grabbed her and threw her arms around her, and they just stood there for like a minute and a half without saying a word, just holding. That's what we're supposed to be doing with Jesus. He is our life. We are as dependent upon him as we are on air or food or water. But then with each other, as members of the body of Christ, we are interdependent. We do not behave independently in the body of Christ because we've all been given these gifts. We all help each other. I've got gifts that you don't. You've got gifts that I don't. The people listening to us have gifts that we don't. all of this is necessary because God created the body of Christ, his church, to be the unique carriers of the message of Jesus to the world.
Yeah.
Well, think about what Satan wants us to do. His cry is always, independent, independent, independent. You're your own person. Stand up. Be a man. Be your own person. Do what you want. And Jesus is saying, that's an option, but you're dead if you do.
Yeah.
You know, you refuse life, so you just remain dead. You were born that way. Why would you want to stay that way? So what Jesus says to us is, yes, Richard, yes, Bob, yes, listener, you are independent. You are no longer dependent upon the world system for anything in your life. Nothing. Oh, yeah, we have to do business and buy food and, you know, pay our bills and all of that. But that's just accidental stuff. The thing that Satan wants us to do is depend on the world system for the important things,
yeah,
for meaning and purpose, and it just won't work.
Not at all.
So when you think of yourself as a dependent person, dependent on Jesus, then add the balancing part of that as interdependent with the rest of the body of Christ, although each member of the body of Christ is dependent on Jesus. But every one of us as a Christian, as a born-again believer, is independent of the world system. It does not have a word, one single word, to speak to us, and that's as it should be.
That's as it should be. I was having an email conversation with a friend just this morning talking about all the issues that are out there that we can get bogged down in. Mm-hmm. They're all designed to take our eyes off of Jesus.
Yep.
Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. Glad you're with us today. We have open lines, 844-322-2742, good in the U.S. and in Canada. And if you're hearing this broadcast at approximately 7 minutes after the 3 o'clock hour, 3 p.m., we would love to hear from you because you are hearing the live broadcast, and we'd love to have your call right now. Again, 844-322-2742. And we so appreciate all the prayers and support you give that helps Basic Gospel keep on going, proclaiming this message of love, grace, and life in the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us here at Basic Gospel understand that it's all because of you who make this possible. We ask you to continue to partner with us to keep this message going. You can donate online at basicgospel.net, and in Canada, of course, basicgospel.net/Canada. You can donate by phone at 844-322-2742, and you can give through the Basic Gospel app or with PayPal. And when you make your August gift, we're going to send you a copy of this new excellent CD series, 5 Messages. It's called The Real You. Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer have prepared it just for you. The Real You, and it's yours as you make your gift during the month of October. I'm sorry, month of August. I'm getting a little ahead of myself.
Close.
There. I'm looking for cooler weather is what I'm
okay.
looking for. Well, it is Basic Gospel, friends. And again, thank you for joining us. The lines are wide open at 844-322-2742. Well, from the Basic Gospel app, a question from Perry. Richard, he asks, well, we hear about the curses of the law, but I'd like to hear about the Abrahamic blessing. What is that?
Okay. Well, the first place you see it is in Genesis 12, starting right in verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So what is God talking about to Abram here? He repeats this in several different ways as we go through the rest of the story in Genesis. He repeats it to Isaac and Jacob. The blessing of Abraham is Jesus himself. Now, did Abraham know 1,500, 2,000 years before Jesus was born that Jesus was the blessing? No. He took it by faith. Remember, we call Abraham the man of faith, primarily because when God asked him to sacrifice his son, as we learn in Hebrews 11, Abraham believed that God could raise Isaac from the dead, and so he acted in faith.
Right.
Look, he's already told me that Isaac is the one through whom the blessing will come. So if he's dead, God's got to raise him. So even back in this time, when Isaac was still a ways from being born, 20 years or so, Abraham is walking by faith. We don't know anything about him prior to this. We just know that God came to him there in Ur of the Chaldees and said, will you follow me?
Yeah.
And if you will, I will bless you, and I will bless your followers, the people who follow after you, and the whole earth will be blessed because of you. Mm-hmm. So this isn't a blessing that Abraham receives for himself, and if we do the things Abraham did, we will receive blessings like Abraham did. Because there were times when he was rich beyond all imagination, and times when he had hard times, and he's just a normal human being.
Mm-hmm, right.
But because of his faithfulness, the line of Israel was started, and Jesus came through that line, and all of humanity has been blessed because of Jesus. That's a blessing.
That's a blessing.
That's a blessing.
Abrahamic covenant.
Yeah.
And Perry, thank you for your question. And friends, if you have a question, if you can't get to us during the live broadcast, you can call any time and voice your question at 844-322-2742. We'll be glad to play it on the air and respond to it. 844-322-2742. Right now, if it's still the first half of the 3 o'clock p.m. Central Time hour, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we'd love to hear from you. Call quickly, 844-322-2742. And right now, we're going to go to the Detroit area, Belleville, Michigan, as a matter of fact, and talk with Michael, listening on WMUZ. Hi, Michael. Welcome to the broadcast.
Oh, thank you very much. I listen to and enjoy you every day on my way to work.
Wonderful.
Work afternoon.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, my question is, I have a family member who says they're a born-again Christian, but they don't believe in hell, and I've tried to talk to them. And I have limited knowledge, you know, I mean, I'm not a theologian, but I try to tell her things that I know. And I just wonder if you could give me a little bit of insightful information in a Christly way, how I could talk to her about this.
Okay. Well, the first thing that she needs to know and that you need to know is that as a born-again believer, hell is not an issue.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I understand that.
So, the Bible says relatively little about hell. It talks about there being suffering, and it talks about smoke arising forever and ever, and it talks about, you know, God not being there. It's a place of ultimate death, eternal separation from God, that sort of thing. I guess what I would want to do and what I'd be most interested in if I was talking to your family member is to say, why don't you know anything about hell or don't want to know anything about hell, and find out what her reticence is, because I'm willing to bet that she heard someplace that hell is that place where you go when you messed up, and that even if you've claimed to be saved, if you mess up enough and forget to ask for forgiveness, then that's where you're going, and, you know, God's going to torment you, and Satan's going to be poking you with a pitchfork, and there's fire and all of that.
Right.
Find out where she's coming from, and then deal with the truth. Deal with it from the standpoint of the finished work of Jesus. You know, he took all of our judgment upon himself. The entire world was judged, found guilty, and killed in Christ, if you will. Now, the problem is that most of us in the world refuse to accept what he did on our behalf, and so that sacrifice was meaningless to us if we reject him. But if we have accepted him, now we are forgiven people. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit so that we're saved completely, utterly, guaranteed, the Spirit being the down payment guaranteeing our salvation. And then hell can be talked about almost in an academic way, because for the saved person, hell is a no-op. I'm not going there. I'm done with that. I have nothing to fear. And in fact, even for the lost person, I wouldn't spend too much time trying to convince them of what hell is. I'd try to convince them of who Jesus is. Mm. And so just make it a conversation with your family member. Go to the Word of God. Get a concordance if you have access to one, and look up the word hell. There's a few words that are used for hell depending on the version of the Bible you're using, but there's just not that much information. Certainly not so much information as we build into this structure, this theology of hell that exists in much of Christendom today. I think we've done a very big disservice to lost people and saved people alike by by the things we talk about hell. I mean, face it, most of what we think about hell has come from Dante's Inferno.
Right, exactly.
Right? And so we've got all of these layers of hell and who's doing what to whom and which people are upside down in the fire and all this kind of stuff. Has nothing to do with reality. Nothing. And it's one of those things where it was kind of an amalgamation of Greek and Roman imagining, you know, all of the gods, Zeus and
the myth,
all of that, and the mythology, right, and all of that. And how the church glommed onto it is just tragic. And I'm not just talking about the Catholic Church. There are a lot of Protestant churches that have carried that really awful belief system straight into their churches, and they scare their people to death and wonder why they don't ever want to show up. And I'm willing to bet that your family member is carrying some of that. Find out, ask them, and see where it goes.
Well, quickly, that was a tremendous point you made about concentrating. I'm going to concentrate more from the standpoint of Jesus Christ than the other, because I think you're right. I think that's the most important thing for any of us to do. And that was a great point that you made. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So here's the thing to remember. All of us, as we were born, infants straight out of the womb, we were born in Adam, separated from God. So in effect, we were born in hell. And the choice we have, because Jesus presents it to us, is to leave that and come to life in him. That's the sales point.
Yeah,
absolutely. Thank you so very much.
You're very welcome, Michael. Thank you.
Great to hear from you, Michael. Hope you keep listening and call again if we can help.
Absolutely. Every day, like I said.
Very good. Thank you. Well, it is Basic Gospel. I understand that we have someone joining us. I think his name is Andrew Farley. Andrew, are you there?
I am here, Bob.
Well,
hi.
Great to have you with us.
Hey.
Yeah.
And great
friends,
to be with you.
Yeah, we have some open lines right now. If you're hearing the live broadcast, 844-322-2742. And if you don't, well, you can call that number anytime, 24 hours a day, 844-322-2742. Record your question in your voice. We'll be happy to play it back. Andrew, you're just in time to join Richard in this interesting call, our email. This is from Jane, who listens to us in Federal Way, Washington, wrote to us through the Basic Gospel app. She says, why did God seemingly permit polygamy between men and virgin women as long as they were not related by blood in the Old Covenant? The laws concerning adultery interestingly omit polygamy. I can't say that word correctly today. Polygamy, and you can see this omission reflected in David and Solomon's lack of remorse concerning the multiple wives they had. If God did not allow polygamy, why isn't that explicitly outlined in the laws, why isn't it reflected through the remorse of godly men like David and Solomon? That's from Jane in Federal Way, Washington.
Well, guys, you know, I think one of the things this indicates to us is that God is not necessarily interested in coming into a culture and coming into a system of laws that we've created and turning everything upside down. You look at Jesus, for example. He didn't change the face of Rome politically or legally. You look at God's agenda around the world with Gentile nations. He didn't seek to overturn governments and cultures, but instead had a message about faith in him. And I think that attitude applies here because, you know, in the Old Testament, there were cultures and systems that permitted polygamy. In the New Testament, you look at what we see in Rome and Greece and the reputation of a person who had multiple wives, for example, say 2,000 years ago versus 4,000 years ago. Well, those are totally different things. And I think, Richard, you know, the bottom line is that the instruction we get from the Apostle Paul, what we get from Peter, James, and John, they're concerned about the church having a sterling reputation in the culture in which they are located. You think about Corinth, you know. He tells the man, stop having inappropriate relations with your father's wife. And the reason he gives is because this sort of crazy stuff is not even named among Gentiles. You're not going to see this in surrounding culture. You're not going to see this among unbelievers. So please put a stop to it. So, you know, I don't think there's anything inherently sinful about David or Solomon and what they did in terms of their wives. I think that, you know, God intervening, he is looking at a witness and a testimony of his church under this new covenant. And I think that if we all ran around with three wives or five wives or 100 wives and quoting Old Testament passages to justify that, we would have a bad reputation around the planet. And it's just common sense that God wants to operate within the culture that exists today in order to win people to Christ.
Yes, good stuff. I love that. Appreciate your question, Jane. Give us drop another email to us if you have another question. We'd love to hear from you again. Well, it is Basic Gospel. Let's go to O'Fallon, Missouri, and talk to our friend Brad. Hi, Brad. You're on the air.
How y'all doing?
Good.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep,
just barely.
Okay, just barely. Hold on. Let me change something.
Speak up just a little bit more for us, Brad. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. What I wanted to say is Andrew's already aware of this. I'd written him an email last night about your ministry and about his ministry, Andrew Farley Ministries. And my main focus was focus. And over the years, all the resources, all the teaching has always, always been to help me and help others too. Keep our eyes on what God has. He has created an environment for us to exist in Him. And you guys in your teaching and the broadcast and all the teaching and all the books, all the materials have helped me focus on Him and what He has put there for me. And I just want to thank you all for absolutely sticking to it. It hasn't changed and never will change, and I love y'all for it, and I'll get off the phone and listen. Thank you.
Thanks, Brad. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, you know, Brad is such a big encourager, guys, and here at Basic Gospel, it is always awesome to hear from him. And I love what he's saying today, Richard, that focus is important. You know, we could be talking about 12 steps to a better marriage, 3 steps to a better this or that.
Yeah.
We could have a self-improvement radio program going on, but that's not what's appropriate. That's not what's biblical. We do have a focus, and it is, how does Jesus Christ meet our needs? What does the cross mean to us? What does the resurrection mean to us? What does it mean to live under a new covenant, to live under God's grace, to have Christ Jesus living in us? That's the focus here at Basic Gospel, and I believe that's the way it should be.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I know that, for example, we've got here in the United States, we've got this midterm election coming up, and the fear and anxiety and all of that stuff that's going on. And I look at it and I say, well, that's interesting, but I truly would rather talk about Jesus Christ. I mean, like we started at the beginning, I am dependent absolutely on Jesus for everything that has any meaning in my life. And then because of that, I can be interdependent with people like Andrew and Brad and Bob and so many other people as a member of the body of Christ for sharing this message. And I am completely independent of this world system that is trying to draw me in and scare me to death.
Yeah.
I don't need it. I'm away from it. Jesus is everything.
Don't want it. Don't give it to me. Well, friends, it's a listener-supported ministry. Basic Gospel needs your help to keep this message of freedom in Jesus Christ going out over the air and online. You can donate online at basicgospel.net or in Canada at basicgospel.net/Canada. You can donate by phone at 844-322-2742. You can use the Basic Gospel app, and you can also use PayPal if you live in a country other than the U.S. or Canada. And to say thank you for your help, we're going to send you a copy of our 5-message, 2-CD series, The Real You, to explain your true identity as a child of the living God. We want you to have a copy of it. Remember, too, friends, if you have a question overnight, give us a call at 844-322-2742. That's available anytime. We love hearing from you, our friends, and we'll address it on a soon coming edition of Basic Gospel. Again, that's 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, for Andrew Farley and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be here again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.